Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
One o'clock hour. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley in for Cody today. He'll be back tomorrow. Here in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Bob Fesco from Fesco in the Morning. Get his perspective on today's vote in Jackson County, question one, and the latest that he is hearing from those, of course, that have been around this issue and some of the stakeholders for the last X amount of months as well. We welcome your input, as always, on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. I had a just brain lapse for a half second there. I was like, wait a second. Yeah, that's the right number. I've been saying it, I don't know, a million times over the last 5 years.
Well, it did change. Remember?
It did. It, for a week, that threw me off. Yeah. For a week, that did throw me off.
I had to look at your...
I wanted to talk a little football, though. We've spent a ton of time, obviously, talking stadium, and we'll get right back to that. But now it's officially official, as in it's on the league note, you know, the official transaction page. The Snead trade is done. We mentioned that yesterday. But now that it's totally done, $19.8 million no longer accounted for on the cap space for you. So or holding up cap space. So it's there. How would you spend it? I haven't heard your thoughts on this, Bink, because I think for me, now maybe, you know, if J.K. Dobbins is in here for a visit, I don't know, that's a couple million dollars, whatever. Isn't this all just going towards extensions, or do you think there's another big move that's coming?
I think extensions and good value deals. I mean, Drew Tranquil last year was a nice deal. It still is, even when they re-signed him. Just low-level type of moves that you make. It's what the Chiefs have been doing lately, these kind of under-the-radar signings. Would it be like a guy like Tyler Boyd, somebody like that? Sure. Or the J.K. Dobbins would be incentive-laden. But, yes, you got to be thinking about extensions as well. You got to narrow it down who you want. That's the Chiefs. They're kind of catch-22, victim of their own success. They're getting these guys. They come in, and they're late-round picks, like Trey Smith, a sixth-rounder, or L'Jarius Sneed, a fourth-rounder. All of a sudden, they're turning into big money, like first-round pick-type money. Even though you're picking them later in draft, you get tremendous value. But the Chiefs have been so good in the draft, you got to sit back and think, because, hey, the Chiefs have shown things pretty clear. Chris Jones got that money. That was unusual for a guy that's going to be turning 30 to get that kind of money, but they realized his value. And that was a special case. That was one with an asterisk on it. Keeping Chris Jones, I don't normally think that's the philosophy to do. They clearly didn't think that L'Jarius Sneed. They thought about the big picture. Like, hey, he might be good this year, but what's going to be like next year? What's going to be like in 2 years? And they don't want that anchor on L'Jarius Sneed, a guy that missed basically all of training camp with the Chiefs. I don't think a lot of people realize, but he didn't hold out because of Chris Jones. He just didn't practice. He was there, just didn't practice, and he didn't practice a lot during the week. Matter of fact, there was that one Friday he didn't practice. And Andy Reid typically didn't play guys that don't practice on Friday, but they did with Sneed. Hey, it'd be fine this year, but what's going to happen in 2 years? Do you really want to have that contract sitting over your head? And the Chiefs wisely backed away from it. That was a very smart move to do. Even though he was great, we all like L'Jarius Sneed, but they didn't want to hamstring the organization.
No, I agree. I just think, so with the money now that you free up, okay, so it's one thing to not even want them to play on the franchise tag. You got your draft pick compensation back for them. You don't want to give the extension. So $19.8 million. I think a lot of this could potentially just end up to the Nick Bolton extension, to the Creed Humphrey extension. I know they usually work those contracts where in year one it's not a ton of money, but this has typically not been an organization that has just carried over a ton of money the next year. Usually they're pretty much right up against
the cap.
Even
though the cap went way up.
Yeah. Like, wouldn't it surprise you if I told you that they would just go into week one of the season with like $5 or $6 million in cap space? I know they like to do some stuff at the deadline at times.
They're one of the top spending teams.
But they usually are right up against it with a little wiggle room for the trade deadline. So that means that $19.8 million isn't just going to sit there for nothing. You know, that's going to be utilized either for extensions or there's another veteran signing we don't know about. Is there another move? Go back to the left tackle conversation. Is there a veteran left tackle that's going to be a little pricier that they potentially do? I don't think they're done in that regard. Out of the 19.8, let's say they sign Dobbins. What is that? $3 million out of that? Okay, so you still have $16 million or so to work with. There's clearly other moves to come, I guess, is what I'm saying. Not big splashes. But fill in a few things here, and then is this how you work a Nick Bolton extension? Is this how you figure out something with a Creed Humphrey, that you've got some space going forward?
Yeah, I think they're going to be proactive. They've been smart, and I know Brent Tillis, a big part of their cap and a huge loss for him. It was, I think, the biggest loss for the Chiefs when he went to the Carolina Panthers because he was so good. And Chris Shea is still here, but so good with the cap. It's like how smart they've been with money. The fact of thinking of Patrick Mahomes before he even started, you know, 2017, he's backing up Alex Smith, and they already get the wheels in motion thinking, okay, this guy's going to be good. And they did. They were guessing Super Bowls, MVPs, you name it. They were being proactive and thought, okay, what kind of extension can we give the quarterback? Can we still win and pay our quarterback big money? Can we have a contract that we can free up money every year like they did with Mahomes this year? And they did it. Like, they were proactive thinking about it going forward. And the Chiefs have been the team the last 2 years that have spent more on their quarterback than any team in NFL history for Super Bowl winning quarterbacks and been able to win it. And they've been able to win it because of how good they've been in the draft. So I do think they plan ahead. I do think it's something they look at. They don't want to put the organization. It's why they continue to win. It's not like the Bucs, when they won, they fall off. It's not like when the Rams, they won, they fall off. It's not like the Bills that are making charges and then have fallen off. It's not like the Bengals who went to Super Bowl, now they've fallen off. All these teams, Jacksonville gets there, wins a playoff game, falls off. The Chiefs aren't falling off. And that's the craziest thing when you think about the salary cap era. They've just been good. Six straight AFC title games. We've seen all these teams win, and then all of a sudden they're crap the next year because they're not keeping things going. They're hamstringing or throwing anchors in the water from bad contracts.
Yeah, this is how you,
like the Denver Broncos, the Chiefs have been extremely smart. That's why they keep winning, because of the smart things they're doing off the field.
That's how you sustain the dynasty.
100%.
I mean, this is the key, and this is why, you know, you and I were talking earlier in the show about pick 32, and nobody wants to wait till all day Thursday night and then not make a pick. But Brett Veach has had a very strong track record here recently. Like anybody with a multiple, you know, a bunch of picks, it gives you a better chance on hitting. And so to your point about, hey, building for the future, I still don't think it's a terrible thought if you tell me that, hey, whatever wide receiver or offensive lineman, whatever you think they're going to take, if that guy's not there at 32, for a second straight year, don't pick a guy just to pick in the first round. Trade back, add some more picks, and all of a sudden you got some more bullets in the chamber if you're Brett Veach going forward.
I think they wanted to trade back last year. I do. But the opportunity wasn't there, even trade up in a certain instance. But the Chiefs are going to run into this problem. And luckily teams, hey, you want them to do it. I mean, would you want the Chiefs to be trading with a team that was a dynasty? Make a team better. Like, I mean, it does happen. It has happened. And it's stupid that it happens. The Buffalo Bills helped the Chiefs. Trading for Mahomes made a difference. Orlando Brown, the Chiefs needed a left tackle. They got one. In that situation, the Chiefs are not going to get that benefit of the doubt. We already saw Deontay Johnson. The Steelers weren't even wanting to talk to the Chiefs.
Yeah, teams are afraid to make the trade. I wanted to just mention one text, 913-586-7610. Someone said, do you two think that the Chiefs make a decision on Justin Reed before training camp? So he's in his final year of his deal, and right now he is scheduled to make $14.2 million on the cap. He's 27 years old. I think there's a chance they work out an extension. I think it also depends on what they do in the draft, because maybe they draft a safety to continue to you mentioned the youth and what they've been doing in the secondary, in particular, the track record of success there. So, yeah, I think it's a possibility. I think Bolton and Creed Humphrey are more likely to get extensions before the start of the season. I don't know if you agree, Bink. And Justin Reed, there's a chance. His tweet yesterday was obviously April Fool's Day. He's not retiring. But right now, $14.2 million on the books for a safety. If you're wanting to lower that cap number, yeah, you do an extension. But they have 19.8 right now. Like, I think if it was a spot where they needed to clear up another $5 or $6 million, then an extension for Justin Reed would make more sense, because you could lower the $14 million right now. I don't think they have to do that. So to me, you might play this thing out.
Well, here's the one thing, too, that probably doesn't help them. The safety is kind of going not the way of the fullback, as far as, you know, getting to the point of extinction. That's why so many safeties are sitting out there, Alex. That doesn't help Reed at all. The fact there's a bunch of quality safeties still sitting there on the open market that the Chiefs could grab rather cheaply. And teams are kind of going away from it. They're getting corners, the nickel corner instead of the safety. We had more passes behind the line of scrimmage than we have in decades in the NFL. The two deep safety, how valuable is it? Are teams still going deep? Well, the numbers say quarterbacks aren't going deep like they used to go. Mm-hmm. It's not even close. So the role of the safeties become much different. Look at all the free agent safeties. It's become something that teams can grab a guy, throw him in there on the cheap, like the Chiefs did last year with Mike Edwards. There's a whole bunch of Mike Edwards out there this year.
I wanted to pass on a couple bits of information regards to question one in Jackson County. The committee for that did put out a statement recently following response to voters being potentially turned away at the polls for wearing team license gear. This is the statement, quote, "We are disturbed and disappointed to hear reports of voters being turned away at the polls for wearing Chiefs and Royals license gear. It's a clear violation of both KC and Jackson County voter laws. While poll workers are prohibited from wearing Chiefs and Royals gear, voters are within their rights to wear team logos when they go to the polls." That continues the information we got from Sam Mellinger with the Royals earlier today. That, not saying that this is happening widespread, but if it happening at all is obviously not something that should be happening as people are going to the polls today. All right, let's keep talking question one, though. Bob Fesco from Fesco in the Morning, kind enough to give us some time this afternoon. Bob, I guess we'll start with where your level of confidence is at as we're halfway through the day and polls close at 7 o'clock.
Well, I don't like this whole, you know, turning people away at the polls for wearing team gear. I mean, that means everybody in Kansas City can't focus. Literally everybody wears team gear right every day. And I think that's really pathetic on the part of who's ever doing that or spreading that rumor. Those are lies. And quite honestly, you may have to start to question the validity of the election if you're turning people away and lying to people at the polls. I think that's downright blasphemy that somebody would be doing that, or that would be going on, or we would even have to issue a statement about that. That's pathetic on the side of people trying to maybe not allow fans to vote or whatever they're trying to do with that. I hate that's going on right now. So I'm cautiously optimistic, he says with a question mark at the end, because, you know, it's nip and tuck. I think every vote literally matters in this, and every vote is going to count in this election. I think it passes. I don't think it passes by a huge margin, or it could get blown out of the water. You know, that's kind of where I've been on this one. But hopefully it's one that does, you know, pass. I don't care if it passes by one vote. If it passes, it's great for our city, and we can move forward and get that downtown ballpark. And John Sherman said something with us this morning that I'm kicking myself now for not following up on. But he talked about, you know, when his time is done as steward of the Royals, he wants to be able to say that there's a long-term lease in place to ensure that the next owner keeps this team here in Kansas City as well. And so I think these are all important things. A no vote does not save Kauffman Stadium. A no vote does not get you a redo at a better location or anything like that. A no vote means everybody moves on to whatever plan B may be.
What do you think happens, though, Bob? I mean, you know, there's people say, oh, they can vote again. I'm kind of with you on this 100% when you talk about the teams could be eyeing somewhere else. The Vultures that are sitting out there, Chiefs and Royals, as much as you want them to stay in Jackson County, how much do you think that comes into play that a Nashville, Kansas starts opening up the coffers? You said something very interesting today about the money that Laura Kelly could, the governor of Kansas, could throw out without asking taxpayers for money. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, they've got star bonds they're able to use without taxpayer, you know, input on that. They're able to use the gambling money that they've set aside, $5 million a year. If you sign a 40-year lease with the Chiefs at $5 million a year, you know, that's a considerable amount of money. That's $200 million right there just from people placing bets. That's why it's important to have legalized sports gambling in your state so you could have that kind of money to give to the professional team that you're trying to recruit, whether it be across state lines or, you know, whatever the case may be. And there's also some other, you know, pockets of money that they have in the state of Kansas that is strictly for economic development and bringing new businesses to the state. The Chiefs would be a new business to the state of Kansas, and they have the ability to use those funds. And so there's a lot of money out there that Laura Kelly can get her hands on that would not be required of taxpayer voting to allow that to happen. I hope we don't get to that point. I hope Jackson County does approve this and we keep Arrowhead, because the thing that I keep telling folks right now is that if the Chiefs end up moving to the Kansas side of the state line and they build this new stadium like what we have in Las Vegas and what we have in Los Angeles, which is, you know, Mark Donovan was kind of stadium envy with that this morning with us a little bit, talking about how great those places are, they're going to outprice a lot of folks. Keeping Arrowhead the way that it is right now ensures that there is still a somewhat affordable upper deck, you know, for tickets. Those type of seating arrangements and the amount of those type of seats aren't going to be en masse in a new stadium like they are at Arrowhead right now. We're very fortunate to have a stadium the size that we do and with an upper deck the size that we do that enables people to bring their family to a game maybe once or twice a year. I know it's expensive for a lot of folks. It is. It's ridiculous. I wish I could afford to go to every game at Arrowhead. But in a new stadium, I mean, you guys have seen the prices in L.A. and the prices in Las Vegas. It's $500 a ticket just to get into the door at those places. So I think, you know, voting for this and keeping this tax in place, it's, again, not new money or any other lie that somebody's trying to perpetrate out there. This is a tax that is already on the books that will be continued, and I think it will keep the Chiefs as a quote-unquote affordable option for a lot of folks that if you get moved to a new stadium, it's going to be suites and it's going to be high dollar, you know, kind of seating prices.
Well, it's those personal seat licenses, those PSLs too. We've seen even with the Bills stadium and what building a brand new stadium up there and what that actually means for people as well, as we're talking to Bob Fesco from Fesco in the Morning. Look, Bob, I think we would all agree that this whole campaign is not going to be used as, you know, exhibit A of the best messaging and perfect campaign for a stadium ballot by any means. But when you look at the money specifically with the Royals for a downtown ballpark that the ownership is willing to contribute, and you compare it to some of these other projects across the country for stadiums, like this is, believe it or not, this is one of the better deals you're going to find.
It's the best deal that you're ever going to find. I mean, John Sherman's talking about $1 billion of his own money plus cost overruns, you know, into the stadium, and then the community benefits agreement that they have that's going to benefit education, it's going to benefit transportation, it's going to benefit minority and women-owned businesses, it's going to create, you know, union jobs. Mark Donovan told us this morning about all the union jobs that it's going to create for the next couple of years at a high wage associated that the unions are excited about. And also, too, the other thing that it's going to do that Mark Donovan mentioned to us, which I found great, is that they're going to create an apprenticeship program for a lot of these union workers that can learn, then have the on-the-job training for a couple of years, and then go to jobs after that. And so not only are you creating, you know, jobs to build the stadiums and renovate the stadiums right now, but you're also training workers to be able to go out into the workforce and get better jobs after the stadiums are built. So it's not just a short-term, you know, gain here in Kansas City. And this is a big-time deal to help the entire community out. I think that everybody benefits. And, you know, the other thing about this vote no type stuff, it's not going to change the way that stadiums are done in this country. If we vote no, Nashville will be right there saying, we'll vote yes, and we'll take your baseball team. This is not a way to get a better deal in Kansas City. This is the best deal that Jackson County is going to get. And I'm sure there's other cities out there that are very envious right now going, man, that community benefits agreement is the best we've ever seen. And it is. It is considered the best community benefits agreement in the history of America.
Unbelievable. Anyway, I know you said, Bob, you think it's going to pass. I've gone back and forth. I thought 100% it was going to pass back when I was with you a couple weeks ago. Last week, I thought, nah, I'm not sure. I don't know if it will. And then the momentum seems to be going the other direction. It appears the yes voters have actually shown up today.
Well, good. I hope so, too, because the no stuff that they're putting out there is just flat-out lies. We're not saving Kauffman Stadium. We're not getting a re-vote on this. We're not doing anything that they're claiming from a Save the Coffin Stadium type campaign. Like all that stuff just bothers me. And then this stuff today with, not allowing people to vote allegedly because they're wearing Royals and Chiefs gear. I mean, that's a scam. And so you just got to be careful with what the no's putting out there. The no has done a good job of fear-mongering throughout all of this and not telling the truth. I mean, it's not a new tax. It's not the ability to save Kauffman Stadium or anything like that. If this vote fails, both the Royals and Chiefs will be on the plan B. Is that Clay County for the Royals? Is that Nashville for the Royals? Is that Kansas, for the Chiefs? There's a good possibility they end up out there. And so these are all the things that you have to consider and focus in on when you're making your decision to go to the polls. But as we know, negative, Nancy's always seemingly get the coverage. TV news loves to cover the negative. I think the TV news and the newspaper have done a hard job giving the positive side to this. But that also goes back to the teams. They didn't control the narrative at the beginning of this, and they kind of let it get out of the bottle when they could have controlled the narrative right from the start.
No question. Yeah, I think that was clear very, very early on in the process that they could have helped themselves out if some of the messaging was a little bit clearer. Bob, appreciate the time, and we'll be listening tomorrow morning.
All right, guys. Take care. Have fun.
There you go. That's Bob Fesco from Fesco in the Morning. You'll hear him bright and early tomorrow, 5:58 in the morning. Not 6 a.m., 5:58, I believe.
NFL has never been more popular than it is now. Nothing beats what this NFL is. The schedule release, the fact that they're going to start bidding for about $100 million for these games on Christmas Day. It's become an animal, and you have an NFL team. You see, whether you want the Royal Stadium or not, and it's your opinion, do you want to lose them?
Yeah,
you want to lose a team bringing this kind of cash? It's the biggest sport in this country.
Look, as we've said, I think most people made up their mind. I certainly don't think that anything you and I are saying is going to sway somebody. That's not my intention. I think, obviously, when you're looking at the stadium projects, and I truly deep down believe we know ultimately when you're voting today, like it's a large part of that simply is whether or not you're okay with potentially both teams leaving your county. Like if we want to simplify that basically you're opening the door if it doesn't pass for either both or one of the teams to leave your county. And if you're okay with that, then go for it. But that is ultimately what you're deciding today. And I do think there is plenty of truth to the idea though, that, hey, if you vote no, and you're what Bob was saying, you think that suddenly all of a sudden the Royals are going to commit or the Chiefs are going to commit even more money and they're going to come back and vote. That's not happening. Like if your intention is voting no, and you think that in 10 months, the Chiefs and Royals are going to say, we're going to give even more money. That's not happening because they have better offers elsewhere.
Yeah, they're not going to up theirs.
But I don't think they're going to Nashville either. Like that part I will push back. I will still push back on. The good thing we have here, John Sherman, local ownership made up of local people that are part of the ownership group. And so, we can talk about leaving Jackson County. Yeah, I think that's a real thing. Absolutely. If it fails, I'm not worried about either team leaving the region. That is, to me, the luxury we still have. Now, whatever, if it fails and you go to plan B and that fails, then yes, then I think you start looking elsewhere. But I think anybody saying they're moving to Nashville right now, that I completely disagree with.
I'm not going to throw it out of the equation. Teams move all the time. Teams move all the time in the United States. They don't get the deal they want. Stadium deals fall through and they move. They move in the middle of the night, whatever it is. I'm sure Seattle, a big city like that, never thought they'd lose the Sonics. They did. Browns, they'd never leave Cleveland. They did. St. Louis not going to lose another pro football team. They did. I mean, this stuff happens all the time. The only guarantee you have is voting yes, you're going to keep the teams. If you vote no, again, you might keep them. They'll be somewhere in the metro. But is there a chance that they're gone? Whether it's Nashville or anything else, what I'm saying is that chance goes from 0% to 5%, 10%, whatever percent you want to put it. It opens the door. The door, Pandora's box, gets open. Could be open later tonight. Hopefully it's not.
Yeah, someone was asking when do results start coming in. Well, not until after the polls close. Yeah, the polls got to close first before results start coming in. So after 7 o'clock, assuming the polls close on time and everything like that, after 7 o'clock, some of the results will start to come in.
They have some IT issues. They declared a state of emergency.
Yeah, but hold on. But that's misinformation, though.
That's
why I said don't confuse people. Don't confuse people. That is the unrelated issue.
Unrelated, but part of it.
What? But that, It's not part of it, though. I want to be clear on that. There is a ransomware attack related to Jackson County, but it has not impacted the Jackson County Board of Elections. No. It has not impacted the Kansas City Board of Elections. And there's Jackson a ransomware County's attack on their tax systems and some other offices. And yes, Frank White has declared a state of emergency.
It's not what this that county it has, needs. Not what they
it
need.
Has
not
nothing
what they
to do
not
with
what they need.
It has nothing to do with the election.
It's nothing to do with the election.
Polls
I'm
are
just
still
saying,
open.
It just sucks for them. Yeah. It does.
Someone says, "Are you guys not getting any feedback from voters on the text line?" Look, we certainly are. I will say, I'll fill you guys in on the text line. The text line is not necessarily. We have no people texting in. There's no way to know if they live in Jackson County or not, if they actually voted or not. I mean, it's not something I'm going to take to the bank if that's what you're asking. But sure, yeah, we've seen it. It's been mixed over the last, I don't know, month plus, right? I also recognize we're on a sports station, and so a majority of people listening are sports fans and are probably lean a little bit more towards the yes side. That's not to say that there aren't people listening that want to vote no or have voted no. I'm just saying, obviously, it's a little bit different on a sports radio text line than if you're checking a text line on a news talk station or something. You know, I'm sure it's a little bit different.
Or people in Johnson County saying voting no.
Yeah, because like the text line, obviously we have people that listen throughout the entire region, which is awesome, but only people in Jackson County are voting. Now it impacts everybody. I've said that over and over. Like, yes, there's only going to be 200 something thousand people that are eligible to even vote in this election today. But it has major impact for what, 2.5 million people.
Oh yeah. I don't know, man. I just know that this is kind of an exciting time, to be honest with you.
Well, it shapes the next 40 years potentially in this city.
This is bigger than just, you know, you voted for a mayor or somebody. I mean, this is so, so, so big for the city. And it doesn't mean they're going anywhere. No, it doesn't mean anything. But this is a major thing to happen to this town.
Yeah, I mean, it has major ramifications. That's why it sounds like turnout is up for what a normal April election. The turnout usually stinks, and it sounds like it's going to be much better turnout than you typically have because it's an issue that people are very passionate about. And no matter what side you're on, like everybody's in their mind doing what they think is best for the county and what they think is best for the city. We may disagree on what that actually is, but ultimately people are all doing it because this is where we call home and a place that people love to live. We may disagree on what that path forward looks like. I tend to believe that the best thing for this region is keeping both these teams where they're at and with the current plan that they have. And that is the Royals playing downtown and the Chiefs staying at the Truman Sports Complex with a renovated stadium.
And
that to me makes sense
rivalry
for right now.
Could just be reignited like you've never seen.
Yeah, that's very true.
I mean,
someone says, is it wrong for me to want the vote to not pass so the Chiefs can move to the Legends? I really want the Chiefs to build a new stadium on the Kansas side. I've seen a lot of that as well. I would have no problem with them on the Kansas side. I also think, though, as you said, there's just no risk involved or anything if you lock this thing in today, essentially, right? Yep. Would I prefer a new stadium instead of a renovated Arrowhead? I'll be honest, absolutely. Like I absolutely
the Bob
would.
Said we talked about earlier that they would outprice, you know, PSLs and everything else, and outprice
a new stadium would have PSLs probably, don't you?
Yeah,
think?
You'd have a lot more suites. I know they're going to do the end zone suites and things like this. It might become too costly because it's going to have all the bells and whistles of the new stadiums, and that's what they do. That's the direction. They like SoFi, and they like those other stadiums. It will be different to go to a game if it's in Kansas.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll obviously have some more thoughts on Election Day in Jackson County. Plus, one thing that Bink and I seem to agree with how the rankings are out and situated, I should say, for the AFC this upcoming season. That's next.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, it's election day in Jackson County. Question one, that 3/8 cent sales tax extension, which would lead to a downtown ballpark for the Royals and a renovated Arrowhead Stadium for the Chiefs. Polls close at 7 o'clock, so still plenty of time to make your way to the polls. And today there's been some reports on potentially individuals going to vote wearing Chiefs and Royals gear, which is allowed. No problem with that, but that some folks maybe were asked to change their shirts or hat or whatever it may be. That obviously is something that's always concerning if you hear anything like that in terms of form of election interference. It sounds like hopefully that is a very small amount of people and maybe just one location that had some misinformation based off of the fact that poll workers are not able to wear that. And maybe there was some miscommunication on they were not able to wear it, but anybody that's going to vote actually can. There was a statement
the fact
from
you can't put vote yes or sure. No, that and be Royals or Chiefs gear.
Correct. Yeah, you can't wear a Chiefs shirt that has a giant vote yes on
yeah.
it. But you can wear a Mahomes jersey, a Chiefs hat, or whatever it may be. The statement from the committee to keep the Chiefs and Royals in Jackson County read, we are disturbed and disappointed to hear reports of voters being turned away at the polls wearing Chiefs and Royals license gear. This is a clear violation of both Kansas City and Jackson County voter laws. While poll workers are prohibited from wearing Chiefs and Royals gear, voters are within their right to wear team logos when they go to the polls. So that was some information earlier. Also, the ransomware attack has no impact on the poll locations today. Those are all still open. So,
yeah, it's going to be an interesting evening. It'll be an interesting
after
evening.
7 o'clock. Results will start rolling in.
Kind of like a sports fan, right? Which direction is it going to go? You feel the same kind of adrenaline you do watching sports?
We've talked about, we're not allowed to talk about on the show. I enjoy politics and I find it to be fascinating, but, this kind of stuff is really interesting to me.
It's going to be huge for the city in every direction. Carson Wentz, by the way, if late news, maybe the Chiefs, I don't know if they'd sign anybody tonight. Maybe J.K. Dobbins, who knows what's going to happen tonight, but Carson Wentz signs with the Chiefs, late at night. It was April Fool's Day still. And it was, yeah, so I just like always remember the day it was, and I'm like, okay, no, this is preacher.
Well, real thing, man. Carson Wentz.
I was happy about it. I was gonna be happy about it last year. It's fine. He facilitates every single thing you'd want in the backup quarterback.
Look, veteran with experience, and that's usually what Andy Reid wants, and that's why yesterday when we discussed Zach Wilson, I was like, not really interested in his services because he's someone that hasn't seen it all in the league, like Blaine Gabbert had, or Chad Henne had, or Carson Wentz had. So yeah, I think this is a good signing. It's a backup job. Look, when your team loses your starting quarterback, you're in a bad spot. But if you need one drive, can you trust that guy for one drive? I would trust a guy like Carson Wentz over a Zach Wilson backup, even though people are like, well, that Andy Reid can fix Zach Wilson, as you said earlier and stuff. It's like that's not their responsibility.
His job is not to spend a second developing Zach Wilson.
That's right.
Because he's got other things to do.
Next up on what's trending, free agent running back J.K. Dobbins is in Kansas City today for a visit, according to Adam Schefter, and a decision is expected very soon.
Did he check with somebody at the airport?
I don't know. As the agency
call
for
realtor.
J.K. Dobbins texted and made sure Adam Schefter knew after J.K. Dobbins was in L.A. visiting the Chargers a couple days ago. This is a running back that I have wanted the Chiefs to sign throughout the entire offseason, so I would be thrilled if it happened. Number two back, low risk, high reward, not going to cost a lot, put a lot of incentives in there. He can't stay healthy in the past. That's why you're not bringing him in to be your number one guy, and you still have another running back. And right now, they have two running backs. They have Isaiah Pacheco and Louis Rees-Zamet. They list him at running back, Bink.
I know.
You don't seem as we've talked about this. We can go ahead and cut the music. We can cut the music.
96.3. This thing has been funny to me. It's great.
I don't know if the listeners picked up on this last Friday when you were in studio. I get a sense with the Lewis Rees-Zamet signing, which is a fun signing, and I don't know if he's going to end up being anything or not, but it's a 3-year deal with some guaranteed money. I get the sense that, I don't know if this is what, like, old school football guy thing, but I feel like, Bink, that you and others don't like the signing as much because you don't feel like he's had to go through it the way the other guys playing college ball.
No, I'm fine with it, but it's making that mistake to think that anybody can play in the National Football League. This is the elite of the elite that make the NFL, and to assume somebody can jump from another sport to the NFL. You think in all these NFL guys, you can think, take somebody and throw them in an MLB uniform?
Nobody's saying he's going to come in and be an MVP.
I'm just saying it's fine. It doesn't hurt him at all because they can keep him. They can have the 17th guy in the practice squad. He can be elevated three times. That's fun. But are you trusting a rugby player with 70,000 plus and a punt in the air to catch it that's not used to ever doing it? Would you trust that? You good with that?
That's why I trust the evaluation of the coaching staff. I do.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to play. Hey, man, I'm all for it. If it works out, it's great. It's a great story. I just think we jump to, hey, man, it's like Barnes. They're saying it could be an NFL tackle, the player for the NC State.
Burns, yeah, DJ Burns.
DJ
yeah,
Burns, yeah, yeah. Excuse me, DJ Burns. Yeah. It's like, no.
I agree with you on DJ Burns. If there's a sport where it transitions to playing running back, I feel like rugby and the position that he played, particularly in rugby, he's used to catching a pitch, if you will, as a running back. Like, if you ran a toss play for this guy, Bank, it's not like he's going to drop the ball or doesn't know what he's doing. Like, if he is,
he's not going to make the team or they won't. He's not going to play. I mean,
do you think those guys
chasing
him
about.
Are any way near the equivalent of an NFL team?
No, but that
you
doesn't
think
mean
that Baltimore Ravens trying to get your running back tackled is far different than the rugby players he's facing?
I think you would agree, though, Bank, that 4.3 speed is 4.3 speed, and that's what he has because he ran a 4.
Jamarcus Russell could sit on his knees and throw it 80 yards in the air.
Yeah, but Jamarcus Russell was eating donuts.
It's just like, now we're just, it's not apples.
John Ross was the fastest guy in NFL history, and he sucked.
Trust me, you don't have to convince me. The Justin Ross thing was ridiculous last summer. I think I have reasonable expectation for Lewis Rees-Zamet. I'm not telling you he's going to come on the scene and be a 700-yard back even. Like, he's going to, I actually think, help them in the kickoff game. We've talked plenty about the rule changes there. I think that's the intriguing part about the bringing in Zamet is the kickoff returns and the ability for maybe the skill set that you had scrumming in rugby can help you there. Yeah, a 6'3 running back just looks weird, right? I hear you.
He might be good on the kickoff team to go down and make a tackle.
But he is listed at running back. That's all I'm saying.
That's fine.
He's listed at running back.
I don't think he's catching punts or kicks. I do. That is not.
It's risky.
I don't think.
It's scary.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what they brought him there for.
Well, I don't know.
He is the perfect guy where Andy Reid wants to throw a wrinkle in there. They run a jet sweep with this guy who has good speed and is a big dude. Like, Sky Moore runs jet sweeps. Kadarius Toney runs jet sweeps. They're fast, but they're smaller. This dude's 6'3", 200 and whatever he is, and runs a 4. I just think it fits. If Andy Reid,
I think we're getting into Brian Shea territory here.
No, as long as the expectations are if someone's trying to convince you that he's going to be the next great running back, they're out of their damn mind. But if someone's saying, hey, he might have an interesting role and they have a set package for him one day, that's where I'm at.
Bink, if Andy runs a jet sweep with this guy and he takes it 75 yards to the house, you are sold immediately, correct?
It'd be pretty impressive. Yeah, I mean,
I just think that if you're going to transition from any sport to football in particular, basketball is not it.
You know what? MBS could run a 4.37. Do we see that out of him ever? He ran a 4.37.
This guy
that's faster than the rugby
though.
Guy.
But it
faster.
But that's because he couldn't catch the bank he was getting. It's not like he couldn't get open.
And he was a pro receiver.
But we keep throwing him the ball.
Out of the backfield.
We keep bringing up guys that are like, again, even the MVS comparison, despite how frustrating the year was. I don't think anybody is actually saying this kid they signed is going to even be us. Like MVS was what, like a 400 yard receiver last year, 500 yards. Again, that's not, as long as nobody's saying that, I don't think.
Listen, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Cause again, he's not taking up a roster spot.
Right.
So, Vakey's
not happy about it.
No, I'm just saying to automatically assume you grab a rugby player and you put him in a league that's got the elite of the elite.
Sure. That's why he's going to be, if he makes,
even these UFL guys, a lot of them can't play.
If he makes the roster, yeah, he's going to be one of the final guys. No, nobody thinks the signing is, oh my gosh, this guy's going to take over the league. I feel like that's what you're acting like people are saying. Nobody's saying that, I don't think.
I'm just saying, I'm from the show me state, man. Show me first.
Are you disappointed, Bink, that they signed that the deal's 3 years with some guaranteed money?
Am I guaranteed? No, because they can back out of that deal quickly.
So, I don't know what the guaranteed dollar
amount
is.
And the fact they didn't take a roster spot, because the international player, you can have 17 guys. And again, it does not hurt them at all. So I'm for it. I'm just skeptical.
I might be dead wrong. I'll go on record and say he's going to run for at least 100 yards next year. He will have 100 yards on the ground total over 18 games.
Oh, I think you say
over 17 games.
Take that back.
Okay.
Over 17 games, he has 100 yards total.
Rushing.
Yeah, yes. I can't even make that bet now. I mean, that's just like,
I don't think you can. I'm just saying.
He might be on the practice
squad
all year. I don't know. You know,
I will
could be elevated three times.
I'll give him 100 yards.
Yeah, no,
that's
no
a
idea.
Lot.
Real quick update.
That's a lot, man.
Real quick update. As we know, with the vote today in Jackson County, I just saw this come across from the KC Crossroads. We know, obviously, that's the location of the Royals downtown ballpark, and the Crossroads Community Association, the Royals, now do have a signed agreement to address the stadium proposal. It says the Crossroads Community Association, the Royals, have signed an agreement regarding the Royals' proposal to construct a baseball stadium. If voters approve question one, this agreement will serve as the foundation for CCA's relationship with the Royals' small businesses that will be relocated, disrupted, and financially impacted by the development of the project and future operations of the stadium, as well as the neighborhood as a whole. The agreement addresses many neighborhood concerns, including small business support. We're disappointed that some commitments to small businesses were weakened in the version received on April 1 after weeks of productive negotiations. Regardless, our focus now transitions to ensuring promises made to the community are kept. We trust the city of Kansas City, Jackson County, and the public will help us in this effort. So that is just a statement from the Crossroads Community Association that is acknowledging that they did sign the agreement with the Royals for their stadium proposal. Also, a couple reports on the flat out reports on those individuals that may have been, you know, turned away or asked to remove Chiefs or Royals gear. This is from Mackenzie Nelson over at KSHB 41, saying that they have taken, Kansas City Election Board has taken 4 call-ins from voters about being asked to remove Chiefs or Royals gear or not to be able to vote. They say they have fixed the situation, reminded poll workers of the rules, and all voters were able to vote. So hopefully just miscommunication. For some reason, there were some poll workers that thought that those going in to vote couldn't wear Chiefs or Royals gear. That has been cleared up. They were able to actually go and vote. So glad to hear that actually happened. And if you are in Jackson County and you are planning on voting, you can wear that Chiefs shirt or Royals shirt. No problem. Nobody can turn you away for that.
Well, it's good they got the vote, though, because that would have been a big problem.
You think? Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Imagine if this thing came down to, 4 votes or something. Yeah. Imagine if it came down to, that close.
Yeah. How close do you – we got a couple minutes left. How close do you actually think it's going to be tonight? Because we've had different people around the office. Obviously, a bunch of us called into Fesco and Kling this morning to talk about that. And I think – am I – a little higher on the percentage than others. I 53-47 is where I'm at, which to me is still a fairly close margin for a ballot measure. I think anybody's saying 57%, that'd be crazy for either side. I think 53-47, yes, is where I'm at percentage wise for this tonight.
I think 52-48, yes. But even if it was no, I don't see it being any higher than 52-48. I don't think anybody's going to run away with it. But I would do think it's going to be, yes, 52-48. But
so you're 52-48. Okay.
I just don't think either way it would be a landslide. I think it's that close.
Yeah, there's strong opposition to it, and it's the turnout will obviously matter for this too. But I would be stunned if either side won by a huge margin. I just don't, that would, nothing's indicated that whatsoever, including some of the polling that I think a couple of the local TV outlets put out recently. Where are you at on that, Drew? What's your guess on the percentage?
I'll
for this
go one
tonight?
Lower than bank. I'll go 51-49. Yes.
So you think even closer? Yeah, but you think yes?
I think it's really
sitting
close.
The Price is Right.
Without going over, he's trying to
higher, Bob. No,
bank's going 52. I'm going 51. I'm just kidding, Drew.
Which means that I would be, well, technically, I would be outbid at that point if it, unless you guys went over. I don't know. I think it's really close. Just so, it seems from, and again, as you said earlier, Gold, the text line's not, we can't go off the text line in regards to that. No, that is a decision because
absolutely not.
People live in different counties, yeah, and all that other stuff. So
yeah, no one's proving where they paid
property
taxes.
I just think that it's going to be tight based on the people who we've had on, like Jackson today, Bob today, Jonathan Katz, and what you guys have said, just in terms of your experience and talking to people and all that. It just seems like it's going to be really, really tight.
Man, this thing's passionate. I'm telling you that the gym I go to, I mean, there's just literally arguments every other day.
Oh, about this?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Oh, everybody's timeline,
like,
is
it is amazing. Just the amount of, like, little arguments between people based on this.
Yeah. If it does pass, I think versus another 18 plus months of the back, there's so many people, I'm sure, just between the advertisements and all, fatigued by it, too. Right. I mean, just,
I think that's part of it. Yeah,
flat
sure.
out.
A lot of people are tired of hearing about it.
Yeah. And whether it's on social media or anywhere else, like, you know, we've been talking about this for not just months. So this goes back over a year now, at least.
Yeah, if it doesn't pass, it'll and be then, a
yeah,
lot
well,
more.
That's, if it doesn't pass, then you're talking about every option being on the table. And obviously that'll be the discussion tomorrow if it doesn't pass. If it does pass, then there are still, don't get me wrong, questions sure. that remain, but we'll know the plan going forward. Yeah. Now, there will still be individual questions and controversy, I'm sure, as any type of stadium project would have. And there's agreements that have to be followed up on and things like that. But versus it gets voted down, and then you got negotiating with different counties and states and flirting with other areas, like then everything's on the table.
Yeah, 100%. It completely opens up Pandora's box. 785, damn bank, no faith in Veach's judgment. No,
bank doesn't believe him, you know?
I 100% believe in Brett Veach. I'm the one that tells you he has 21 of the last 22 draft picks going last year on this roster. I have a problem with Alex Gold's judgment. Not Brett Veach's.
All I said with Lewis Riesamit is, I don't even know what I said that would have been crazy. I said, if you're acting like people are saying that he's going to have 700 yards or something, I'm like, no, it's a good training camp story. And
Drew
maybe,
thinks he's going to be a 1,000-yard rusher.
And no, maybe, and Bink, maybe he has something designed for him specifically. That's, I think,
divided
best case scenario.
Drew's
for
got
him
in the MVP race.
No. Bink, this is the thing. And to your point, I think you're absolutely right about DJ Burns not being able to play in the NFL. Riesamit, it's not like he's an international player. I don't think they think about playing college football, even though they're a certain size. Because I'm sure, I don't know if this is the same with rugby as it is with basketball or soccer, but you can go pro probably earlier. You probably don't even have to go to college.
Oh, there's guys that
internationally
play college,
you can just straight up go. So I think that for him, I mean, this just kind of opened up as a possibility. As he figured, yeah, oh, you know, why not? Because I think
other teams are interested too, Bink.
I know that you want to show. I know you want to see the guy in college. Who's to say that this dude wouldn't have been? To say?
Okay.
I'm just saying. Now, we don't know. See, no.
How do we know he doesn't have two Heismans?
He lives in the Heisman
house with Tim Tebow and
everything. We don't know how good
Manziel.
Of a we don't know how good of a college
Johnny
player
Manziel
he
won a
been.
Heisman, and how good is he?
I just think it's part of. Not that you're short selling him, because again, I just said 100 yards.
No, Antonio. I'm kidding with you, Drew. You didn't say that. Antonio Gates never played football. It's with Texas A&M. It's true. He was actually recruited by Nick Saban to go play at Michigan State, but never actually played football in college. So it does happen. That is the rare exception. Hey, I'm for it. Like I said, it doesn't harm you. It's harm no foul. I'm just, my thing is the people that think he's going to contribute a lot. That's my problem.
I don't know how many really do.
I don't know how you can think that he's going to be a starter in the lineup.
I'm getting a jersey. I think he's going to be a star,
in the 53.
I mean, some people have replaced him already with how they felt about Justin Ross in last year, which that
this
was
is
also
Brian
that
Shea reincarnated. It's the Paola freaking Comet, man.
If he makes the roster, how many Riesamit jerseys do we see?
It's the Paola Comet.
Week one.
Man, oh, man.
Brian Shea, give me the rock.
Bink, thanks for filling in, man. Appreciate that. Cody will be back with us tomorrow. We'll also have Amy Dash maybe on the show tomorrow. I think. Did we get it confirmed? Has it been confirmed now?
Yes.
All right. Well, depending on how long our show is. Right now, we're scheduled for only a one-hour show tomorrow because the Royals are playing Baltimore, which is not ideal. However, there's rain in the forecast in Baltimore, so we'll see. We're on the air at 10 a.m. tomorrow, maybe for 4 hours, maybe for an hour. We're not sure. We'll obviously be talking about the results from tonight's ballot measure in Jackson County. The Drive with CDOT, though, coming up next right here on 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.